We covered the first person to enter number one as the winner, and this week we are doing first one at number 30. That's right. The Royal Rumble series is far from over. It's the Wrestling Guys podcast, and we're starting that up right now. Coming to you from the Forgotten Borough, Staten Island, New York, this is the Wrestling Guys podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things of the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We are your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, Chris Never Miss, a.k.a. the Chris Fatine Dream. Royal Rumble 2007's on deck, and you know what we do. We're keeping it safe. We're keeping it socially distant. We get our socially distant clink to start the night. I love that. It's essentially just me clinking two glasses together, but we're keeping it safe, like I said. One day we'll have the clink together. We'll have a nice drink. But for now, this is how we do it. This is how we get down. How's the week going? How we feeling? How we doing? What you doing, man? How you doing over there?
Social distancing. Social distance drinking. That's what we're doing.
That's what it is, man. That's what it is.
Everything here is good. And we are inching closer to the 2021 Royal Rumble. And we're going to continue our Rumble series, as you said, with 2007's Royal Rumble.
I mean, I like what we're doing here. I love that we covered 95. I was talking to some friends after the fact, and they agree. 95, one of the worst matches, but one of the worst, one of the best endings in terms of. And listening back to it, I went back again and watched it again. It's jarring to me, and I know we talked about this ad nauseum pretty much, but the amount of tag team wrestlers that were in that pay-per-view was crazy. The Rumble itself, I mean. And you know, now hindsight being 50-50, you know, or 20-20, as they say, and I'm thinking 50-50 booking, excuse me. But, you know, how cool would it have been if Bam Bam Bigelow came in at number 30 and people swearing that he's going to win because now he's coming in fresh, he's a monster, blah, blah, blah. And Lawrence Taylor would have been the costing him the match. And then you went on to the Shawn Michaels British Bulldog sequence. I think that would have built up LT and Bam Bam so much, probably even greater than what they went to. And again, this is me armchair booking, but I thought, like, if you really want some more star power in here, that would have been cool. And if you knew we were going with the LT match in WrestleMania 11, yeah, maybe you throw him in there again and see what happens. Now he pushed him in the crowd, and now LT cost him a spot, you know?
It definitely would have added drama to their, what would become their rivalry. But nobody pulled double duty at that pay-per-view, so I guess maybe they just felt that their confrontation, as it was fine enough, and you know, they counted on just Lawrence Taylor being the star that he was at the time,
yeah, being so, in the tri-state area also. Yeah anyway, but this is me just, you know, trying to do some revisionist booking after the fact. But it was like, I was like, oh man, that would have been cool. But then, you know, I'm just, who the hell am I? I'm sitting on my couch thinking of this shit. I'm like, I'm like four drinks in at that point. But anyway, as we said, so 1995, the first ever person to go number one, enters number one, and going one with the whole thing. And now we're fast forwarding all the way to 2007 to see the first ever person enter at number 30 and win the Rumble. We all know who that is. That is the Phenom. That is the legend. That is the man, Undertaker. But how did he get here? That's what we're covering today. We're going to watch the whole match. This is actually a longer match than last week. We're talking 56 minutes, 18 seconds over here. I think at this point, are we back to the traditional 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes?
Probably, but we'll have to clock it out like we did the last time.
Yeah, I think I am going to start it up like last time. I think that was a great, I think at some points, you know what, I got to say, 95 Rumble in terms of timing was not bad. There were some elements in the beginning where it was a little off, and then maybe I started a little late, but for the most part, it seemed to be consistent a minute. Like I said, but like you had said last week, maybe it's because, yeah, these are the first time they're having two guys go bell to bell. Maybe don't want to kill them right away and do this long, hour-long match. But then we'll see later on in this match, you'll have people that go over 40 minutes, 45 minutes later. But this is also the first one to include the ECW wrestlers. But in we're talking the relaunched ECW on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, the ECW, WWECW, as it's become known as. And yeah, it was a WWE product, but there's still a lot of ECW originals in here, like Sabu, the Sandman, Tommy Dreamer. It's definitely cool to see them part of this event.
Yeah, it's cool for the first time ever. You're seeing them on a bigger stage, pay-per-view, where it's not in some, you know, bingo hall, concert hall, and one of the biggest pay-per-view of the year on top of that, you know. The undercard, we would only see, I think, what, four matches on the undercard, just to run through them real quick. You had the Hardy Boys against Eminem, Mercury, and Nitro. Very underrated tag team during this time, though, I got to say, during the Ruthless Aggression era, Eminem.
Yeah, and they had good matches with the Hardys, too.
All the time. That one would get 3.25 stars, according to the Meltzer ratings. You would have Bobby Lashley, the ECW champ, going against Test. Another one, rest in peace, Andrew Martin. Only a 7-minute match. That would get 1 star. And then Batista being the heavyweight champ for SmackDown up against the, at this point, Mr. Kennedy, who was just on fire at this point. They really had the rocket to him. Like, he was getting a lot of main event pushes going against Batista. He would eventually go on to win the Money in the Bank that year. But that match would only get 1.25. And then you would have the last man standing match for John Cena, who's the Raw World champion at the time, against Umaga, another one who's passed on. Rest in peace, Uncle Eki, as everyone calls him. Last man standing match, that would go 23 minutes. That would get 4 stars. That would be the highest rated match, actually tied for the highest rated match with the Royal Rumble. That would also get 4 stars as well. So small undercard. But, you know, we're not here for that. We're here for the meat and potatoes here. All right, we're here for the Rumble, baby.
We're here for the 30-man Rumble event itself. And this is another one that has a great ending to it because, and we'll get to it, obviously, as we watch it. But Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, the last two, and they had their own little mini match at the end. And who knows, maybe this was the, I know it would be a few years before we saw Taker and actually 2 years really before we saw Taker and Shawn in a WrestleMania main event, that famous one from 25.
Right.
But maybe this was a little bit of a precursor to that. Maybe they did this to not to see what they could do, because obviously these two have met before and everyone knows what they can do. But maybe this was a precursor to what we would see a couple of years later.
Yeah. So you're talking about the, you know, where, what is it, 10 years removed from 97 in the Bad Blood Hell in a Cell match, that would get them 5-star rating. It was the first ever one. It was fantastic. And now you have them 10 years older, 2007 Rumble, and they almost have, like you just said, they almost have like a mini match at the end. And it was very rare to see almost like the last two guys go at each other. You know, it's always about elimination this, elimination that, maybe a surprise. These guys had almost like a full-on mini match at the end, which was fantastic. And it was a precursor, because then you would see them in 2 years, right? Or not even two years, excuse me, the 25th anniversary, right? This is leading up to WrestleMania 23, and they would have arguably the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, some people prefer Savage Steamboat, others say Michaels and Undertaker from 25, and then they would do it back-to-back years. So if this is a precursor, sign me up, because you have two of the possibly the greatest in-ring workers we've ever seen. Shawn Michaels, obviously, second to none. Undertaker, in terms of character, probably the greatest character in WWE history. And it's two veterans. They weren't trying to, you know, really develop somebody younger, or because, you know, at this point they really had the rocket straps of Kennedy. They could have had him win the Rumble, or somebody else had like an up and comer, Chris Masters, or, you know, even like a Carlito, let's say, if they were trying to do that. I mean, we would see what happened with those three guys would end up flaming out in WWE eventually. But to have the two of them, cornerstones of the business, as your last two, and I think it's kind of fitting, Shawn Michaels being the first ever number one to win, going against, at the end, the person potentially to be the first number 30. So, you know, it's fitting in there. I mean, this is me again, probably reaching. I don't know if the storytelling was on the wall there for that. If you're going to go with the final two, I mean, you got to go with the best here at this point, right?
Yeah, and it would take them, 19 years to get to number 30. You know, every year, every Rumble up to this one, you would always hear about, you know, the coveted number 30 spot. And, you know, remember that one, I think it was 1989, when the Million Dollar Man bought the number 30 spot because it's a spot that everybody wants. They never had number 30 win. And then, see, you know, in 2007, they decided to do that, you know, to have the best odds. You know, the odds are in your favor when you're number 30. And this was the first time in 19 Rumbles that number 31. Two veterans that are the last two, Undertaker wins. And you mentioned, you know, guys like Mr. Kennedy and Carlito at this point, just the younger guys who they look to for the future. And I think that's become something that us fans look at every year around Royal Rumble time, you know, not just who's going to win, but we tend to look at the younger guys that are the future of the business. Do you think that's what the Rumble's for? Do you think it should be, I don't want to say always, but do you think that it should be a young up-and-coming guy, or is it okay to have a guy like The Undertaker win the Royal Rumble and earn a match at WrestleMania?
I think it can go either way. I think it fits well with the story. I mean, if you have, you know, young up and coming guys where, you know, you are building them up really, really good and you are really coming along with it, and then winning the Rumble is that cementing factor for them to go on to Mania, because eventually he is going to be, he or she now is going to be the champion. I think that absolutely is fitting if the story is right. Me, in terms of the veteran, I mean, Undertaker going up to face Batista in WrestleMania, I mean, having him win here was great. I thought it would make sense. But then you would see a few years later, you know, Del Rio be an up-and-comer and go on to win the Rumble, but then he would actually lose the match at WrestleMania, you know? Yeah. So I think if it fits, and, you know, we've seen this twice, you know, up-and-coming people, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Batista, it worked, right? Roman Reigns, it didn't. They had to change course, you know what I mean? But I think when it fits, I mean, I think they dropped the ball when they didn't have Daniel Bryan win the Rumble that year, or not even in the Rumble that year. And, you know, the fans got behind him in that groundswell, and he ended up going on to Mania and just killing it in 30. You know, sometimes they miss the boat on it. Sometimes they're spot on. And sometimes you'll have, you know, like I said, like you'll have a guy like Del Rio who looked like, for all intents and purposes, he was going to be the guy, you know, the next Latin American superstar going forward. And he just had these big falling outs with WWE twice. And, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you have Chris Benoit as a winner going number one, and sometimes you never mention him again. So, you know, it's just it's weird with that stuff. When it fits, like, and I'm not condoning anything that Benoit did later on in life, but what I'm saying is the story of him going from number one to win and then going on to win the match at WrestleMania 20, it fit. It was actually a great story from beginning to end, right? Yeah. You know, stuff like that. The Rey Mysterio one, with Ed, you know, capitalizing off of the death of Eddie Guerrero, but taking that story and moving it forward with Rey Mysterio, stuff like that. It, you know, when the story fits, I think it's great. When it doesn't make sense and you just have a guy winning it for the sake of winning it, you know, yeah, then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work in this case. When they had Batista come back the second time around, everybody knew he was going to win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and that was the year that everyone wanted Daniel Bryan, and he
right. was in it. Yeah. And the fans revolted, and they had to change course because the original plan was Batista's going to go on and just beat Randy Orton for the title. Nobody wanted that, absolutely nobody. And they were so mad, and that they were so mad that Roman lost because he was the last guy left. And then when next year, when Roman goes on to win, people booed the shit out of him. So, you know, like, what are we doing here? But, you know, like I said, when it fits, it does. Sometimes it's a swing and a miss. Batista, Del Rio, stuff like that. It doesn't – I could take it or leave it. I don't care if it's a young guy or an old veteran, as long as it makes sense within a story. If that makes sense, you know.
Well, it does, yeah, and I completely agree.
You'll have these younger guys that come along, you know, and they'll have their time. You know, I thought Drew McIntyre's build last year was fantastic, and I, you know, the way he was building him up, I was like, he definitely has to win. It was either going to be him or Brock was going to go all the way and just beat the shit out of everybody, right? But we'll see that. We'll see throughout the years how, like, you know, and just because you don't win the Rumble, right? Or, you know, doesn't mean that you won't shine in that Rumble. I mean, look at Keane. Look, he's one of the best Royal Rumble competitors ever, right? You're talking about in this point in 2007, I think this is his 11th appearance in a Rumble, counting his years as Isaac Yankum and the fake Diesel. Mm-hmm. It was his 9th consecutive appearance. Up until this point, he would have the most eliminations in a Rumble with 11. Right. And then that would be matched by Roman and then eventually Braun Strowman, which I got to say, you got to add an asterisk to that greatest Royal Rumble match, because I don't consider that an official Royal Rumble. I just consider it a paper, you know, one of the Saudi pay-per-views that they build the Royal. I think any record that was, you know, Daniel Bryan's Iron Man record and Strowman's elimination record should be stricken from the record or have an asterisk next to it, because I don't think that's an official Rumble in my book.
Yeah. I mean, I think the event, regardless of the controversy that surrounds them being in Saudi Arabia to begin with, I think the event was fun. Mm. And when I remember when they announced it was a 50-man Royal Rumble, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But I think the whole idea with that was just they got a lot of money from Saudi Arabia, and they were like, we want a big special event that, you know, would make this unique, and that's what they came up with.
Waiting for the greatest WrestleMania soon. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. All right, so what do you say? Let's get into this Royal Rumble 2007. We are at the WWE Network. You flip to the tab, 2007 Royal Rumble match. If you don't have the tabs, watching from your phone or otherwise, it's at 1 hour, 41 minutes, 43 seconds. It's going to be a nice little Royal Rumble sign that's right on there. All right, let me know. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so we're going to hit play in 3, 2, 1. And we have started. So we're looking for here. How many people have passed on in this match? Is it a legit 2 minutes between each guy? And how many tag team wrestlers, submitting off from 1995, how many tag team wrestlers are in this?
Lillian Garcia.
Total babe. She was also a great announcer, though. I'll give her that. And she was fantastic. She had a great voice. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hell of a singing voice, too.
She does well with her podcast, too.
So the winner of this is going on to face either the ECW, Raw, or SmackDown champion at WrestleMania 23.
Yeah, first time that they would have three options at WrestleMania. But I think we all knew that no one would challenge for the ECW title in the main event of WrestleMania.
I mean, seriously. Ric Flair, number one, famously won it from the number three spot in 1992. Lillian Garcia didn't do the Fink, now let's all find out who's number one. Very disappointing. Her.
Ric Flair's still around. Not wrestling, but still around.
Down and profiling. Now he's with Lacey Evans in a little program with his daughter. So again, they're going over his stats, winning number three, winning the title. Ric Flair looks good here.
It's amazing how long he actually wrestled for.
Yeah. And probably could still go if he wanted to. I wouldn't recommend it. But
yeah, I wouldn't recommend it either. And I would have, what, he had a heart attack. He almost died recently, right? Like early last year.
And still drinking with the best of them. How you doing? Finley from SmackDown, number two coming in. The unsung hero of the WWE Women's Division, right? Everyone always praises him and the way he trains those ladies.
Yeah.
I think, did he get furloughed in the wave of releases during the COVID?
Yeah, he did, yeah. I don't know if he's back, but they did furlough him.
And there's backwards red hat guy that's famously used to be in the front row of every pay-per-view. Sitting right in the corner. They took the shillelagh away. And we're about to get cracking here in the 2007 Rumble. So the bell just rung. I'm going to mute the sound so we can get our little audio commentary going on. So I timed it for 2 minutes. I started as soon as the bell rung. Let's see if it's actually a full 2 minutes. Right now, look at that flare of Sprightly getting up from that shoulder block.
Finley's such an underrated talent, I think. You know, he was always older. Even when he was in WCW, Fit Finley, he always looked like he was older. And, he got his start wrestling in WWE at an advanced age, but was always putting on good matches, always had that tough guy persona.
He is the perpetual... I'm going to always look like I'm 50 years old guy.
Yeah.
Right next to Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson could be 21 and still look like he's 45. But yeah, crazy underrated. He had great series of matches for the TV title with Booker. Even Rick Martel was part of that. Chris Benoit, he would have like a great series of matches. He used to use the Tombstone as his finisher too. When he had the whole Mad Max persona, like the ring gear where he would enter, he'd have the killer mullet. That was great too. But him and Regal. We'd love to see like some of the old school European wrestling between him and Regal. I bet that's something to see right there. If anybody has any links they could send our way at Wrestling Guys PC.
Yeah, and those European matches, I mean, we saw it with the UK Cup, Heritage Cup. All right, so we started at 10. How long was that?
I have 30 seconds left. So right now it's a minute and a half.
Minute and a half, okay.
So I'm going to try 2 minutes again as soon as it's Kenny Dykstra. My God. AKA is a Ken Doan, used to be part of the Spirit Squad, tag team champion, and then he broke off of them. He named himself Kenny Dykstra after the baseball player Lenny Dykstra. Bad choice there.
He was also engaged to Mickey James, who she decided that she wanted John Cena instead.
Yeah, realized she didn't want to see Kenny Dykstra anymore. Wanted to go see John Cena. How you doing? It's weird, though, because he's another guy. As soon as they broke him off from the Spirit Squad, it seemed like he was going to have a major push. They put him with Orton and Edge, and then he wasn't very long for the WWE, and he was gone very soon after that.
Yeah, it didn't work. The Spirit Squad, I know people fans shit on the Spirit Squad, but they were fun for what they were.
It worked. I thought it worked, and they had really good feuds. I mean, and look who came out of that, you know, Dolph Ziggler, of all people. Yeah.
Certainly the most successful out of them, obviously.
But it's funny how... you know, and that happens with some teams too. You think one of them is going to be successful and it ends up being the offshoot. You know, Kenny Dykstra, they broke him off thinking he was the more athletic, the more charismatic of the bunch. And it ended up being Dolph Ziggler, who would come back first as Chavo's caddy and then go on to be, you know, multi-time world champion and a continental champion, current tag team champion right now. Kenny Dykstra, I think, was actually became a fitness model afterwards, right? Oh, we're at 5. Okay, so it looks like it's a minute and a half because I'm at 35 seconds. So I'm going to go a minute and 30 seconds this time.
All right. And it's Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy. I'm starting it right away as soon as they come in. Matt Hardy is the SmackDown brand. Finley's also SmackDown. And Ric Flair and Kenny Dykstra are on Raw. So you have Finley's really gone.
Oh, almost.
Oh, look at that. Wow. Holding on. Five Michaels there.
Was this? No, this wasn't version one Matt Hardy.
No, I think at this point they're still together, the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, right. Well, they had the match earlier against
With Eminem.
Right.
Right. So right now I'm at 50 seconds. Let's see what happens here.
So this took place in San Antonio, Texas, at the AT&T Center, and drew 13,500 fans.
And that would be what, the second one after the 97 Rumble, right? San Antonio?
Right, yeah.
Other Mexican wrestlers again, given the area and stuff like that. Also making sense that now Shawn Michaels in the final two, given it's his hometown.
You know what? I just put that together.
Yeah. So now we're at 15 seconds. Oh, and they're at 9. So this timing is way off here. So I'm going to go with a minute and a half every entry or for the first few entries to see how it pans out. But I'm at 5 and they're at 0. So we're 5 seconds off. Oh, here's the Rated R Superstar Edge, one of my all-time favorites. He's made some pretty big comebacks at the Rumble from the Achilles injury and then from his 10-year layoff last year, which was fantastic. Almost brought tears to my eyes, not going to lie.
He won it in 2010.
Yeah. Coming out from half. That was also the same year that he came back from the Achilles very, very quickly, actually. Here we go. Oh, nice twist of fate. Matt getting revenge on the guy who stole his girlfriend in real life and in storyline.
I remember that very well.
So is Flair eliminated here? Flair's walking outside the ring, taking a breather. Maybe he's he's going for a weapon. Dirtiest player in the game. All I see is a cooler full of drinks. Flair can't find anything. He's looking around.
Who's that for him?
Say that again?
Who are those drinks for that are always under the ring?
I'm assuming
probably the announcers, right? Yeah, probably. He's got two chairs.
Two chairs. Now see Kenny Dykstra. Where'd he kick
one out?
Where'd he kick the chair out? All right, I'm at 30 seconds. So right now we have a good amount of wrestlers in. Oh, but wait, there's Ric Flair.
Oh, look at that. Come on.
5 minutes and 40 seconds by Edge and... Edge, actually.
The first man out is the first man eliminated.
And there goes Kenny Dykstra. Second man out, only 4 minutes and 5 seconds for him. And we're 2 seconds off. It's at 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm just hitting 3.
Wow. All right, so a few seconds.
So we're looking at a minute and a half here. Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer, the first ECW guy.
All right. It is fitting that he would be number 6, also be the first one to come in.
Always a fan of Tommy Dreamer, especially in his ECW days.
Yeah, great worker. And you know what? He's one of those guys that I could always get behind because he just has a genuine love for wrestling. He's passionate. You know, he's not doing it for the check.
He literally broke his back.
He would wrestle in a bingo hall for 10 cents because he just loves to wrestle. Mm-hmm. You know,
classic baseball Dreamer drop. Right here. Baseball dropkick.
Ah, famous ECW pose there. And Finley just laid him out with a clothesline. How you doing?
I think Finley is going to go a long time in this one. I think
Finley would end up lasting without giving away. You're talking 32 minutes here. But he's not the longest guy to last in the Rumble, surprisingly. But he's also a badass. A guy like that could go – he can go 60, 70 minutes if he really needed to.
Right.
Okay, I'm at 30 seconds again. Actually, I'm lying. You're 33, going to be 30. We have four quality wrestlers in the ring compared to the 95 Rumble where we had the Blues Brothers and Heavenly Bodies and Well Done starting it off. We have good wrestlers here to start it off. Some really, really quality. Who could win it? Anybody from any brand. You have 3 brands at the time. 10 seconds. Okay, this one's 2 seconds off. So right now we're getting a little closer in time. So whoever's timing it, attaboy. All right, way to go.
Almost in sync. Almost there.
And we have Sabu, another ECW original, second ECW person to come out at number 7.
Good to see him a part of something like this. And he's immediately going for a table.
So here, how do you feel about weapons in a Royal Rumble match? Tables, and you saw Flair trying to go for chairs. Like, how do you feel about that?
I think it's okay. I mean, the first time that it happened was 2001, and there was a pretty long segment where I think Raven started when he came in and brought weapons into the match, and like every guy that came out after that was with someone that you would consider a hardcore type of wrestler. And,
right. Oh, that was a bad spot.
Yeah,
right?
That was a bad spot. But at least in 2001 Rumble, I thought it was fun, and it didn't last the whole time. I think if you use them for like a spot and then it goes away, I'm fine with it.
Right. I mean, I think for instance, you know, he sets the this for me, it's a little cheesy because Sabu sets the table up outside. So, you know, somebody's going to get eliminated by going outside through a table. It would eventually be him. Right? Him by Kane. But at the same time, it's like, you know, come on, like, you know, don't bring the table in the ring. Go outside. It already reveals who's going to get, you know, somebody's going to eliminate through the table. You know, kind of sets it up. At least in 2001, you know, you saw how Austin, he won by hitting Kane a couple times with a chair, then throwing him out. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of fit because Kane just eliminated 11 guys. He was monstrous then, you know. And here we go. Okay, we're 3 seconds off the mark.
So Greg, it's going back and forth, either 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah. Gregory Helms, when he dropped the Hurricane gimmick, I did like the Gregory Helms gimmick.
Yeah.
At this point, Gregory Helms is on SmackDown. He would be our number 8 entrant.
I think he's a cruiserweight champion at this time.
Yeah, I believe so. He had a year long reign. It's very long.
Oh, there goes almost. I thought Finley was out.
And you know what? We're not seeing no cheesy try to eliminate, you know, like cheesy like elimination attempts. Like, I'm gonna gorilla press you. And I didn't realize this, how much I hate the I'm gonna gorilla press you. Like, I'm gonna eliminate you and you somehow get out, or I just drop you. It's probably one of the worst things you could do. I think the agent that does these rumbles should say, unless you're gonna eliminate somebody with that gorilla press, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because you saw it with Lex Luger, just kind of drop him, British Bulldog. And at least with British Bulldog and Michaels at the end, it made sense. But, you know, we saw it several times in a match where somebody goes for a gorilla press and they either drop the guy or just like, oh, yeah, you got out of it somehow. Like, very, very terrible. But, you know, Matt Hardy is doing a little song and dance here with Gregory Helms. He's holding on. You know, he's dangling underneath the bottom rope, but technically half of him is still in the ring, so he wouldn't be eliminated.
And now Gregory Helms trying to hold on. Is that Sabu was trying to get him out? 10 seconds?
We are 1 second off.
I think you're staying in the same window.
That might have just been me mistiming it because I'm not hearing the bell because obviously we don't have the sound on right now. So I'm just going to stop it. And we have Shelton Benjamin, number 9, Raw. And with this, so correct me if I'm wrong. Are we in the middle of the Shawn Michaels eliminating Shelton Benjamin 3 years in a row, or was this the beginning of that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But
because I'm pretty sure he does eliminate him in this match, and you would see consecutive years of Shelton Benjamin being in the Rumble and Shawn Michaels eliminating him, and it was one of those things like one of those themes that they would do later on, like how Kofi somehow magically gets back into the ring along with Naomi. Now
it's good to see Shelton being used right now, you know, with the Hurt Business Raw Tag Team Champion. You know, when he came back,
I loved it when he came back, and I was like, oh, I hope they don't misuse him. And he was kind of floundering for a little bit,
but now he seems to have found some stride. And
for the record, I love the Hurt Business. I love the faction. I love what MVP. I love MVP as the mouthpiece. I love that they added Cedric Alexander, the young up and comer. I think he was doing wonders for Lashley because I think Lashley was also floundering.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun faction.
Right, and he's a legit U.S. champ, which normally I'll say it again, I'm not the biggest Lashley fan whatsoever, but it gives him legitimacy, and he looks like a monster now. And now having them guys with him, it's great. And now they're teasing some spots here with the table. Shelton Benjamin has got suplexed over the top. Now he reversed it, almost in a suplex. Matt Hardy over the top.
And we got another guy coming back. Out.
Oh, we're spot on. And here comes Kane, Royal Rumble favorite, without his mask.
Number 10. So now you know somebody is going through that table.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is his 9th consecutive year. He enters at number 10. This is his 11th appearance at the time, which is at the time of Royal Rumble record. I think he might still own the record as many, however many Royal Rumble appearances he currently has.
And never won. House.
Never won. Came close in 2001, but that was it.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Gregory Helms, yeah.
Wrecking Gregory Helms. I hated the half-shaved look, though, by the way. It fit. Famously, Chris, if you recall, we were actually there the night that he unmasked.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, we were there. And there was Tommy Dreamer.
6 minutes and 41 seconds for Dreamer. He is the third guy eliminated. And, oh, here we go. Easy spot.
Nope. Not yet. Sabu held on.
Sabu really just looks like his whole body is held together with duct tape.
Well, that's what happens when you just use crazy glue and
yeah, you just hope for the best. And here we go. Sabu, choke slam through the table. Thank you for setting up outside in the beginning, you loser. 5 minutes, 27 seconds for Sabu. Fourth person eliminated in the match. And half-shaved Kane is going to town. Just came in, eliminated two guys. Two ECW originals.
Yep.
Oh, I'm off. So I had a minute and a half, and no one has entered.
And now the countdown starts.
Oh, so we're way off. 10 seconds off here.
And you know that was definitely to give them time to use that table.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You want to get that spot in. And now we have CM Punk, a very young CM Punk, entering. Part of the ECW brand at the time. Number 11.
Yep.
Has a little short hair action going on. He doesn't have the chest tats yet. Going right for Edge.
Are you still hopeful for his return?
No. I don't. I could care less now if he comes back or not. Would it be nice? Yeah. He was a great wrestler. I will give him credit as getting me back into becoming a full-time WWE watcher with the pipe bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know. And listen, everybody has their gripes when they leave. But, and, you know, I heard his interview many, many times, and he has some legitimate gripes there, and I can't fault him for it. But now at this point, it's like, listen, if you want to come back or you don't, you know, you don't have to shit on everything that goes on and, you know, whatever. Voice your opinion, great. But, you know, listen, you're going to come back or not? I'm not one of those guys that I need to sit in the crowd and chant CM Punk every time to annoy fucking Vince. It's it got to be obnoxious after a while. I could take it or leave it.
Well, it's one of the nice things about not having a crowd is you don't have to hear it.
That and the what chance.
Well, that's actually pretty funny, though.
It's just getting so bad now.
It's at some point, it's just like, okay, enough.
So I have quite a few wrestlers in here right now. We have seven. And here comes another one. All right, so we're actually spot on right here. This is the first one. 3, 2, 1. All right, we're in there. That was the first one. That was perfect. King Booker. Love this gimmick.
Loved one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, definitely in mine.
And there's Paisley. Oh, Queen Charmel, excuse me.
Charmel, get it right, okay? She's not a Nitro Girl no more. All right. Entering at number 12, SmackDown Superstar at the time. King Booker, though, man, what a great gimmick. Having him win the King of the Ring. He was the one that, like, you know, some people fully embrace the King gimmick like Corbin does, or some people actually just don't. They just refer to him as the King. He went all out, doing the fake voice, which was great, calling everybody, like, almost medieval names. Like, we call Taz Tazwell. Oh, there goes Gregory Helms.
Well,
Gregory Helms, 6 minutes, 50 seconds. Fifth guy eliminated.
And I'm glad that gimmick worked out for him, you know, got him a run with the world title, because I always felt like he, even though WCW, he was there. Biggest star, but it was, you know, the tail end of WCW, the final year of their existence. And I just felt like he deserved a run in the WWE. I'm glad he got one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was well deserved.
Yeah.
You know, he had a great gimmick. He was over. The crowd hated him and it was good. And then the crowd ended up like starting to like it, you know? So, you know, it was well deserved. And, you know, going over on Rey Mysterio, and then he actually won that Cyber Sunday triple threat match.
I remember.
King of Kings and stuff, more or less. That was great. That was great, man.
And this was the last time. Well, I don't know if it was the last pay-per-view, but he would leave in 2007 after they wanted to put him, allegedly put him in ECW, and he's like, nope, I'm out of here.
Okay, we're spot on again, and here comes the next spot, the next guy. Super Crazy ECW. Wow, look at a little pudgy around the waist there, Super Crazy. My God.
Definitely looks a lot different than what he did in ECW.
Absolutely. He put on some weight there, my man. How you doing? He's number 13. At the time, he's actually not on ECW. He's on the Raw brand.
Oh, look at that. The Mexicools. Remember that?
Yes, coming in on lawnmowers, which would not go over in today's society, by the way. And also, it's a stupid-ass gimmick coming in on... Yeah, we get it. You're Mexican. Let's have them coming on lawnmowers. Great creative. That brain trust there sometimes really knows how to hold it down.
Well, on Bruce Pritchard's show, Conrad called him out about it a few times. He's like, why would you do this? And Pritchard said it was their idea. Like, they were cool with it.
Yeah, well, they were Mexican about it. How you doing? Wow. You know, I got to say, too, pointing out, in the first 13 entrants, we've only had one half of a tag team in Matt Hardy so far. Shelton Benjamin at the time, I think, has gone singles at this point. Yeah. He's not with Charlie Haas. So we've only had one half of a tag team as opposed to the 95 Rumble we previously started, where it was the tag team Royal Rumble, pretty much.
Yeah, definitely an improvement here in the roster.
Okay, so this is very, very far ahead. They have 3 seconds left, and I have 13 seconds left. So they sped up the entry for this one. And, oh, here comes Jeff Hardy. So, you know, at the same time, though, as well, Jeff Hardy was also the Intercontinental Champion. So he's also a singles wrestler teaming up with his brother. So as well as, you know, as much as he is a half, the other half of the tag team at this point, he's also a single star. So makes sense in this case, having him enter. Number 14, also a Raw superstar, Matt Hardy from SmackDown.
So I guess you could say that so far, technically, there hasn't really been any official tag team.
Yeah, because even though they teamed up during the pay-per-view, they technically are on two different brands.
Two different brands, yeah. So, like I said, a definite improvement 12 years later in the roster.
What I call Super Crazy Super Doughy at this point, because my God.
His classic double team, and they couldn't really get him over. They barely got him over.
Yeah, that's because when you're picking up Super Doughy, I mean, what's going on there? But yeah, that was almost a bad spot. Not as bad as the Sabu spot where he tried to do a springboard DDT and pretty much just landed on Tommy Dreamer's head. Oh, there goes Kane grabbing him up. Could we see an early exit by the Hardy Boys?
Edge is still in there. Probably, I think right now the longest out of everyone.
It would be Finley the first, and then second. He's still in the ring right now. They've gone back to a regular time. We are spot on with our timing here. 3, 2, 1. We're back. And our next one is... Oh, it's the Sandman, because we are panning the crowd to look for wherever the hell he is. And there he is. Coming with a beer, too. Can't believe they allowed that. It is pay-per-view, after all. Oh, my God. That security guard just got drenched with beer. She's literally wiping herself off. So, poor lady. And in the time of COVID, imagine getting spit on with a mouthful of beer by a wrestler who doesn't look like he's showered.
Now, it would be after this that when they would do the draft that Sandman would go to Raw. And apparently Vince McMahon was a big supporter of the Sandman.
He was. He liked him. And he also, they liked his attitude backstage. And here's the kendo stick, famous for Sandman. Now he's laying people out. But at the time, Sandman realized, if I heard interviews correctly, my God, he is out already. The Sandman lasted 13 seconds. King Booker, and the crowd is not happy. King Booker doesn't give a damn.
What were you saying before that?
The Sandman had a good attitude backstage. He was well-liked at the time, and Sandman felt at the time like this was one of his last ones where he could make some legitimate money. So in his first entry into the ECW brand and later on Raw, he was kind of just almost giving his all to, you know, try to make some money in the business. You know, he's been working for how long, you know? And then, you know, of course, it didn't really work out with him either at the end. Skinning the Cat, Jeff Hardy. I miss a good Skinning the Cat.
No one did it like Ricky Steamboat. Oh, CM Punk.
Almost. Is he going to skin the cat? And not really. Kind of goes to do it. And he's on the bottom rope. And there's our timer. Randy Orton entering at number 16.
There was no clock, though. I didn't see a 10-second countdown.
It came up. It did. Okay. But we've spot on the last three people.
Actually,
on the Raw brand.
Randy Orton and Edge are the tag team champions at this point.
Rated RKO, not Raw. Sound like Scooby-Doo there. So, Super Doughy is out. 4 minutes and 32 seconds, eliminated by Rated RKO, the tag team champion. So technically, two single superstars, because I would call them superstars, but also the tag team champions. So,
yeah.
Right now, not for nothing, what a stacked Rumble we're looking at right now, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And it looks like Matt Hardy might be on his way out, but Jeff saves him.
A number of Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers. Oh, there was Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy did not last that long, and so is Matt. Rated RKO takes them both out. Matt Hardy would last 18 minutes, 55 seconds. Jeff Hardy, 3 minutes and 38 seconds. But he did look like he was hurt coming out. I don't know if he was selling the injury from the match or he was legitimately hurt.
I think he was just selling.
I also think that Jeff Hardy's perpetually injured. There's just like he always has something wrong.
He's permanently injured.
He just likes to dive off of balconies and hope for the best. So Randy Orton coming in and immediately making a statement. Super Crazy and Jeff Hardy. And Matt Hardy. Unbelievable.
We are trying to get Kane out.
All right, I am at 12 seconds, 11, 10. Oh, I'm a second behind, but we're still kind of spot on here.
As long as it's in the ballpark.
Yeah, we're good to go.
And who
we have Chris Benoit. And is he our first deceased wrestler in this Rumble?
I think so.
He is. Everybody has been alive up until this point.
I know there's a lot we can say. I don't know if we want to dive into that, but you know, obviously we know about what would happen with him later on this very year.
Wow, is this the same year?
Yeah, 2007.
Unbelievable.
That summer.
That's crazy. I mean, listen, not gonna go into the details of that stuff. Obviously, that you know, if you want that, watch Dark Side of the Ring. But
can't wait for that to come back.
Yeah, in terms of his in-ring work, dude, he was second to none, man. He was actually, and I'll be the first one to say it, he was one of my favorites coming from WCW into WWE. I remember when he came in the Rat. I was so excited because I loved Benoit. Him and Booker T, the best of five for the TV title. Man, and then they were repeated again in WWE. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. And then unfortunately, you know, what happened. And well, listen, rightfully so. I know people try to make the debate of should he go into the Hall of Fame, and he shouldn't.
He should not, no.
And the fact that he's been scrubbed from history, listen, I don't want to see him as much as either. I mean, unfortunately, when you're watching these Rumbles, you are going to run into stuff like this. But, you know, they don't mention him anymore, and he shouldn't be mentioned anymore. I was actually a second ahead on that time.
No,
So he at this point, so Benoit was on the SmackDown brand that he just came in. Rob Van Dam on the ECW brand. Was this after? Yes, this was. He came to the ECW brand. He won the title at One Night Stand, so he was dual champion. And then he screwed up and got busted for weed in our car, and had to lose both titles, like an idiot.
And never really recovered after that. As far
you know what? That was really just the downfall of his WWE career. He was a world champion. He won the Money in the Bank, dual champion, and that ruined everything. He had to drop both titles, and he got suspended on top of that. There goes King Booker. King Booker.
Eliminated by Kane.
9 minutes and 23 seconds. Not a great showing from King Booker. I mean, he did have the Gregory Helms elimination and the Sandman elimination, but that's about it.
Does Kane overall have the most elimination? I think he does. It's either him or Shawn Michaels.
Not anymore. I think Shawn Michaels does. Kane would hold the record for a very long time.
King Booker came back in and attacked Kane. I don't remember this happening.
Yes, look at that.
Because I don't think that's said.
Because at the time, they're both heels. And there goes Kane. There goes
Kane eliminated.
Wow.
I wonder why they did that, because I don't remember them ever going further with the storyline between them.
It's not like they set up a Mania match between the two either.
Right.
Kane will go down as 13 minutes and 21 seconds, one of his shorter outings in a Rumble match. Unbelievable. All right, so again, we're 1 second off. And we got Big Vis coming out. Nelson Frazier no longer with us. Another one, rest in peace.
And this was still
Thomas,
yeah,
the world's largest love machine.
Still that gimmick.
Viscera now at this point is on the Raw brand. And when he gets eliminated, he will set the record for the most people that need to eliminate him with 8.
Now, is this when he was doing his love angle with Lillian Garcia? I think it was.
I think so. I mean, not for nothing, but if they're silk pajamas, he must be so overheated right now. Those things are hot as hell, man.
Can you imagine the sweat?
Oh, God. They just must be pooling.
Trying to get Edge out, and I think RVD's trying to help him.
Maybe. Or he's just grabbing his leg to be like, hey, I'm eliminating you. Like, that's not doesn't help. Let's see. Nothing right now. Benoit's kind of just chilling in the corner watching the action.
Yeah. RVD would actually RVD a couple of times would make surprise returns in the Rumble.
Yeah. He would come back a few years after he left. And then he would pop up here and there, Money in the Bank match, and he would be a part-time performer. And then he kind of left, and then he just more recently returned to Impact. But I think he actually finished up there as well. So, again, this is right on the money. Good stuff here. All right, next. Johnny Nitro, one half of M&M.
Where's Melina?
I guess she didn't want to come out. Melina, though, great entrance at this time.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Nitro on the Raw brand at this point.
There was some rumblings of her coming back there. RVD.
Well, she came back for the Legends Night, a brief cameo on Legends Night.
I missed Legends Night, so I didn't
see. Yeah, she came out. She had a little interaction with the Lucha House Party. Nothing, but it was nothing of significance. Just like, oh, hey, there's Melina.
I'm sure she looked good, though.
Oh, she looked, yeah, you know what? She's aged very well. How you doing? So far in this Rumble, we've only really had two whole tag teams, but yet they were single stars, one being the Intercontinental Champion, and a legit tag team with Johnny Nitro at this point. Mm-hmm. You have two currently in the ring that are no longer with us. Everybody's alive. Shelton Benjamin doing the little...
Wow.
Holding on to the bottom rope and pretty much lifting his body weight to just miss the ropes while Benoit's trying to eliminate him. I have 20 seconds left, and they're already at three. They jumped the gun on this one.
Looks like they're trying to speed things up maybe a little bit.
Kevin Thorne. Wow. The Vampire.
Mordecai, remember that? The
original. Never really made it here, though. I mean,
I like
gimmicks.
Ariel was super hot.
But she was a terrible wrestler. Have you ever seen the match at Impact where she's wrestling and at one point she yells out, "Ow, my vagina, my vagina." Like, that's one of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life. They're replaying the Shelton Benjamin almost elimination here. That's an incredible feat of strength to hold yourself up like that. Randy Orton getting choked in the corner by Johnny Nitro. Viscera still trying to he's literally holding him on his shoulders. RVD holding onto the ropes though, which was a smart thing. But look at Nitro's almost trying to pull RVD back in, which he did, which is so stupid.
Trying to protect him to make sure that it wasn't a missed spot, you know?
Right. And then here comes Viscera. Viscera now leaning on the ropes. Now everyone, it looks like we're gonna have a team here. RVD keeps trying to close on him over the, which is not gonna work. Is RVD gonna get the elimination here? Oh, laid him out.
This way was smart. He would have just dumped him right over them like that.
Yeah, but you know, why do we need to have smart looking in this match? That must kill.
Yeah, it's not something I would have
happened to me. He's stepping on you over. Like, who allows that spot to happen? All right, we're back to being spot on here. 3, 2, 1. Our next person here. Hardcore Holly.
On ECW at this point.
Yes, he's an ECW wrestler. I got to say, there was nobody I disliked more than Hardcore Holly in this era. Did not like him. Didn't care for him. Hated the gimmick. To me, he's always going to be Thurman Sparky Plug.
Yeah, I mean, for me, he was always just there, you know.
He was a quality wrestler, but, you know, the fact that you would hear years later when he would, like, you know, disparage people or say, like, you know, I should have been world champion and shit like that. Like, no, man. No, you weren't. You know, you weren't.
I mean, there's a lot of stories about him being just
a backstage bully on top of that.
You know, Bruce Pritchard did a whole podcast about him and kind of tried to debunk that. But I think there is truth to it, you know, not from personal experience, but I think that what has been said about him is true. Like, he was a bully.
Now, RVD looked like he almost hurt his arm there.
It did look like he banged his arm
shaking out his arm. Looks like he banged his elbow on the ring apron when he was trying to, like, save himself from elimination. All right, now at this point, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on Viscera trying to get him out.
And they're just trying to push him. Like, somebody grab his leg.
And he's literally just melding into the ropes like he's the T-1000 in Terminator 2. All right, here we go. Spot on again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I am timing this Rumble like money, let me tell you. Our next entrant is the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, but coming out to the Generation X music at the time because they had reunited.
Yeah, this one, Triple H went down with his injury.
Right, they had reunited and he went down with a quad injury.
Yeah.
So Michaels would go on to face John Cena at Mania and would come out to the DX music as well, which is kind of odd. You know, not the Heartbreak Kid one, but here's the man right here. Dez Press, House of Fire going in. And not for nothing, this Rumble is stacked. What roster and what entrance, man. Like, far and away, it's like 95. My God, how bad was that? There goes Finley. Finley did a great bump for Michaels over there because he almost missed him with the clothesline. Finley, 32 minutes, 32 seconds. Bravo, Sweet my man. Sweet
Chin music.
Sweet Chin to Viscera. This is it here. Eight guys.
Now they're all going to try to get him out.
Benjamin, Benoit, Punk, Edge, Hardcore Holly, Nitro, Thorn, and RVD. And here comes Shawn Michaels, tries to run up at the end, but misses. Viscera is out. Viscera will last 6 minutes and 22 seconds. 13th man eliminated in the Rumble. And there goes Shelton.
Shelton, yeah, eliminated by Shawn Michaels.
That would be 22 minutes, 22 seconds for Shelton Benjamin. 14th man eliminated. I want to know, at Wrestling Guys PC, was this the first time? Are we in the midst of the three-year run where he just eliminated him every year? Shawn Michaels came out House of Fire in this match. How you doing?
Yeah, I always wondered, you know, when Shawn Michaels came back in 2002, and here comes another superstar, Chris
Masters. Masterpiece, Chris Masters.
When Michaels came back, SummerSlam 2002 was obviously a huge moment. He would win the world title that year and retire in 2010 without ever winning a world title again. I wonder why that is.
He didn't need it. He didn't need the world title, man. I mean,
they could have given him at least one more, I think.
I mean, listen, I agree with you, but at the same time, when you have these guys that are up and coming, Cena was red hot. You had these guys who were really putting the asses in the seats. And he also didn't need it. He could come out and give you these quality matches. I mean, he would have a tag title run with Triple H towards the end.
Nitro
out.
But with the way that, especially in this era, the way that they were trading that title around, to, you know, back and forth, every month they would crown a new champion, it felt like. Right. I felt like, you know, he could have had one more run.
The only time I thought that he could have had another legit run with the belt was with that Jericho feud when they were feuding over the world title. And I thought he was going to win it at one point. I'm surprised. But at the same time, at this point, Shawn Michaels is not really that much of a selfish wrestler at this point. I mean, yeah, politics aside, you know, he knew what drew. He knew what put the asses in the seats. And if he could make money with you, he was going to make you look good doing it. You know, so he made Jericho look great. And it's Jericho's favorite match, that ladder match for the world title, whenever they asked him.
RC 2008.
Yeah, just to catch up, Johnny Nitro, 6 minutes, 18 seconds. 15th guy eliminated. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We are still spot on. We're killing these timings right now. How you doing?
Maybe you can get a job doing it for him.
At Wrestling Guys PC, I'm available.
Here's Chavo.
Teach during the day, timing wrestles at night. How you doing? Chavo coming in at the time on SmackDown, but will go on to be an ECW World Champion. Part of the SmackDown 6. Look at the way he entered that ring. Looking sprightly.
SmackDown 6, what does that mean?
Hmm?
SmackDown 6, what is that?
Have you ever... Oh, Kevin Thorne eliminated as... Or before we do that, 6 minutes, 15 seconds. So the SmackDown 6, have you never heard of the SmackDown 6?
No.
It was the wrestlers that Paul Heyman, when he was the head of the SmackDown, that would eventually go on to be world champions. So Edge, Chris Benoit, Chavo, Rey Mysterio, all those guys that he gave significant pushes to would all go on to become world champion at some point.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so that's when SmackDown was kind of like the underdog show, and he was in charge being the head writer, and he put, you know, his faith in these young guys, these up-and-coming guys, and he would all go on. With the exception, Chavo would be ECW champion, not a WWE or world champion on SmackDown Raw, but they did become champions regardless. Here you go. Benoit still in the ring. Chris Masters, another one, a failed experiment where it looked like he was going to have all the momentum in the world. And a couple of failed drug tests and losing some muscle mass when he got back. And that was it for him, man. Like, he could have been something. And he had the look.
He had a good gimmick, too. I thought the Master Lock Challenge was fun.
Yeah, I thought the Masterpiece was great. So they are 3 seconds behind me this time around. Kind of doing it. Oh, here we go. We have Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP. I thought he had a great gimmick coming in. Free agent signing. The MVP initials were fantastic. And He was really hot for a while as well. He would go on to become the first ever IWGP Intercontinental Champion, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's a stat that I don't know if anybody would guess unless they really knew. You know, the fact that he was the first to hold that belt. But I was always a fan of his. I always enjoyed his gimmick. I liked the kind of Power Ranger look that he had.
Yeah, and he had a great feud with Matt Hardy. Remember, they had to try to, like, one-up each other in, like, pizza-eating contest, arm wrestling, and then he gone to be tag title champion. Chris Masters, the guy, you know, he got the drop kick, and then he turned around and jumped over the ropes. Like, you know, he's still very green here at this point, I think. He would only last 3 minutes and 32 seconds, surprisingly.
CM Punk's still in there. Orton trying to get him out.
Yeah, CM Punk is making a showing. Edge still in the ring, surprisingly. Who else do we have in terms of long term? I mean, Orton's been there for quite a few minutes as well. Mm-hmm. Benoit came in at 17. He's still alive in this match. You got Punk kind of teetering here. Him and Randy Orton kind of going back and forth. 10, 9. Oh, again, spot on. Spot on. Minute and a half now. So this is, you know, I'm going to officially call it that it was a minute and a half for each of this. So it's pretty good. Our number 27, the coveted number 27 spot goes to Carlito. Another one, tons of momentum. It seemed like they were going to, you know, he was going to be the future of this business, and his attitude and, you know, drug suspensions.
That's what was said about him, is that he was lazy.
Yeah, he was just lazy. He was a great worker, dude. And he had a great gimmick. He was good on the mic and, you know, terrible attitude. Wanted to go to rehab. He said no, and they released him. So that sucks. Was going to be on Raw Legends night, but then turned them down, saying he was going to go halfway around the country just to do a cameo. But okay, you know, when are you ever going to be on TV again, though, Dick? Sorry. But he was on Glow, though. Did you ever watch the Glow series on Netflix?
Yeah, I actually liked that show.
Loved it. So I hate that they canceled it without a final season. I was hoping maybe another streaming service will bring it back, but yeah, he looked good there. Him and Tyrus.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. And Chavo being the trainer for the ladies wrestlers there was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that was a fun show. I actually met Awesome Kong, who was a star in that show. So
Awesome Kong. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Welfare Queen.
Yes, yeah.
Great. I love that gimmick too. Wish somebody would actually come out with that.
I don't know if that would work.
Number 27 has the most winners at 4. However, number 24, 28, and 30 have 3 apiece at this point. So they're right there. So 27, not as coveted as it used to be. And we are in there. And, oh, God, here's the great Khali. How many people will he throw out in this one? I'm going to make the prediction that the Khali will be our diesel, as we've been putting it in the match, and have the most eliminations.
Tara loves the great Khali.
Oh, my God. I hate – look at him, man. He's like a mountain of a man, but he's awful.
Yeah, he sucks.
However, I hear he's a big sweetheart, though. So big ups to
Khali. He's a really nice guy. I hate to say this after saying that he does have a nice guy reputation, but he did kill somebody in the ring.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Accidentally, yeah. It was in India, I believe. But
did he chop him in the head with those frying pan hands?
Might have.
My God. Khali at number 28. Carlito and Khali, our last two entrants, also part of the Raw brand at this point.
Can you imagine him, like, oh, my God.
That was a chop.
Taking a full swing at your head.
I would never get that close. I mean, he laid out Randy Orton, and Orton sold it beautifully, but it looked like he chopped the shit out of his head just now. That looked stiff, man. Here's number 29 coming in at 4-3. They had jumped the gun. They're a full 8 seconds ahead of me. There's Hardcore Holly. Number 29 is, oh, my God, The Miz. Look at this gimmick when he first came in with his faux hawk garbage. Hardcore Holly would last 10 minutes, 21 seconds.
And there goes The Miz.
And there goes The Miz in 7 seconds. Part of the SmackDown brand at the time. Would go on to be a world champion, surprisingly. And Benoit is out as well.
And there goes RVD.
And RVD.
Khali
Benoit got eliminated, I guess, during the entrance for The Miz. Oh, wow. Benoit, 17 minutes, 52 seconds. RVD, 15:27.
Almost. Oh, Carlito's out.
Carlito would last 3 minutes and 19 seconds. My God. Did I miss anybody? CM Punk, 27 minutes, 16 seconds. There goes Chavo. Chavo Guerrero, 6 minutes, 24 seconds. Khali is cleaning house. Here's your winner of the Royal Rumble. Just kidding. We know what's happening. But still, at this point, you got to think, man, they're really going to give him the Rumble match? Awful.
I'm pretty sure as we were watching this live,
I was mad.
Wouldn't have.
Yeah. I was very upset. And here's Shawn Michaels. Yeah. He's going to no-sell that chop. And you're hoping that please don't throw Michaels over the top.
And he's going to do that that double chokeslam move whenever he decides to. There it is.
His gear just looks like pajama pants. He looks like he rolled out of bed and came to the Royal Rumble.
He probably did.
That's unbelievable. And now here comes the number 30. Everyone's expecting it. 3, 2, 1.
Lights go out.
Lights go out. And here's Taker. Let's go. House is going crazy right now. Crowd is going wild. Taker at number 30 is incredible. And he looks in incredible shape at this point. My God, look at Taker here. Tan, muscles. Look at him. Screaming world champion right here. Staring daggers at Great Khali. Great Khali is giving him the just bring it gesture here. Undertaker also part of the SmackDown roster. I think during this time, during the brand split, Batista and Undertaker were the two like flag bearers for SmackDown at the time.
Yeah.
Wow. Chopped him right in the head. Undertaker bounces back. Oof. They're slugging it out. Or at least Khali's attempting to slug it out, but he's so slow with his punches. My God. Look how... I mean, I get he's a big dude, but he's literally winding up so far that Undertaker has hit him twice before he could throw one.
Well, Undertaker's got him reeling on the ropes.
Listen, I know that he was huge in India, but come on. Like, you see him selling these punches. All he did was back up into the ropes. Taker clothesline him over the top was awful, and it's not Undertaker's fault. Khali is just that huge and that bad of a wrestler.
Yeah.
Our final five here, Edge or in MVP, HBK, Undertaker. Undertaker, see, bad move here. Why would you go old school in a Royal Rumble match where we could just, you know, kick your legs out from under you or hit the rope and eliminate you? See, this right here, this move, is not sensible for a Royal Rumble match. So whoever put that together, don't do old school.
He should have just kicked his leg out of his leg. He would have fell right out.
Kick his leg out of his leg is the go-to move every time in a Royal Rumble match.
And MVP's out.
MVP... 7 minutes, 31 seconds. Great Khali, 3:45. Nice clothesline there. Famous flying clothesline off the ropes for Taker. MVP coming back with a chair, though. Yes, and the referee's like, no, please don't do it. Okay, at least the referee's getting involved now and trying to grab the chair.
Edge.
Teetering. Oh, but Orton grabs the chair from MVP and lays out Undertaker with it. This is a great final four here. You have Edge, Orton, Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels. Yeah. All Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers right here. This is a great final four.
Edge setting up. Is he going to spear Orton?
He's sizing up Orton for the spear instead. Oh, and he hits him. Oh, almost gets him with the chair. Like, oh, no, my bad, boy. Like, just kidding. Like I said, 1 minute. I thought we were cool. How good of a callback is this as last year's Rumble when they teamed up towards the end?
Yeah. And then, of course, they will go on to wrestle.
RKO to Michaels. Michaels rolls out of the ring. Wow. And now they're still arguing. And here's the famous heel. Hey, wait. Let's team up and get him out.
Undertaker busted open.
Does this happen at every Rumble match where the two heels towards the end are like, wait, let's team up and try to get him out, but then I'm going to betray you?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that.
It's standard in the Rumble.
Yeah.
And you know what? No gorilla presses in this match. Attaboy. Attaboy, whoever wrote this pay-per-view. Except for the old school. Didn't care for it. So our final four still in the we have three in the ring. Michael's still selling the RKO outside. He's posing, Edge posing, waiting for the turn where Edge and Orton eliminate each other somehow.
No, take a fighting back.
Oof, all right. There we go. Little corner throws in here. Going back and forth. Can we see a double chokeslam? Oh, there it is. Double chokeslam from Taker. Oh, no. See, now at this point here, right, you're going for a double clothesline. Makes no sense, right? Why are we not trying to throw him out? You are two guys. You're tag team champions. He is the most dangerous guy in the ring right now. Why not go for both and just go for the double team? But see, it never works with the heels because all they care about is themselves, those bastards. Snake Eyes into a big boot. See, again, that was a boot to the stomach, not a big boot to the face. Yeah. Snake Eyes, again, you have him over your shoulders. Instead of throwing him in the corner, throw him over the top rope. Come on, guys. It's got to make sense here.
What elimination sticks out to you out of every role? Oh, there's a spear. Oh,
spear from Edge. I'm sorry, say it again.
So out of all the Rumbles, is there an elimination that sticks out to you the most?
As in, like, the greatest elimination or one that just makes no damn sense?
No, that like a good elimination. Like, I remember when Snitsky clotheslined Paul London, he did that backflip. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He just destroyed him. That was a good elimination. I mean, I got to say, the Kane choke slamming Sabu through the table is actually a really good one.
Yeah.
Memorable in terms of, like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. When Maven drop-kicked Undertaker over the top rope and eliminated him, I was like, no fucking way. And then Undertaker proceeded to destroy him.
But you know what? That shows the
greatest of Taker.
Right, exactly. His willingness to do that for a guy
like make him look good. A guy who had a bright future, but again, another failed experiment from WWE because they couldn't hack it. And it's not, I don't want to say it's WWE's fault per se. You know, those guys, again, you know, Maven would famously have problems with substance abuse. And also, oh, there goes Orton.
Oh, Orton's out. And here goes Edge.
Ooh, sweet chin music over the top. Shawn Michaels comes back in, eliminates both members of Rated RKO. Edge points and says, get him. He gets backdropped. Randy Orton at this point was 27 minutes and 14 seconds. Edge would be the Iron Man of this Royal Rumble. He would be 44 minutes and 2 seconds.
That's a long time. But now
five eliminations. Great Khali would be the diesel of this match. He would be the, has 7 eliminations total.
Which all happened in like a minute.
Yeah. I'm going to play the sound for this ending sequence here. They are both laid out. Undertaker on the floor. Undertaker does his sit up famously. And here comes the kip up from Shawn Michaels. And you're like, oh, God damn, it's about to go on right now. Two icons, legends of the ring. Just bring it. This is great. This is what a great, that was a great moment to set up the final two.
Yep.
And again, great final four, even better final two. I love Michaels, so nonchalant, such a great worker. He gets pushed back from doing the 10 punches in the corner. And before he jumps back up, he gets the chair and moves it out of the way. And it was so seamlessly, it just looks so fluid. Wow. And he no-sold it. He didn't be like, oh, shit, I just landed on a chair, dicks. And he literally oh, wow, look at that. Punched him so hard. Michaels does a great tumble over the top. He's hooking both arms on the top, punching Taker to get out. Look at that. I'm fanboying right here. This is great right here. This is a great, one of the greatest final twos probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a final two at this caliber of where like it could be any one of these guys.
So you're talking, okay, we're right now, this is the start of the last two. We're at 2 hours, 34 minutes, 58 seconds, right? This pay-per-view ends 2 hours and 44 minutes and 18 seconds. So you're talking about almost a full, without counting Taker Celebration at the end, this might be a full 7-8 minutes that they have at the end here.
Yeah, which is a match for most people.
Right. It's unbelievable.
Oh, this
is great here. Misses the big boot. Michaels ducks. Undertaker beautifully goes over that top rope. And then look at Shawn trying to capitalize. Wow, Undertaker doing the teetering. Amazing. Amazing holding onto that top rope for such a big guy like that. Back elbow. Oh, man.
Nice there of, you know, will he be eliminated? And he holds on.
And it was legitimate because he missed the big boot so badly. And badly in a good way. You know, where he just tumbled over the top like that. It's like, oh, wow, there it is. There's your end. Wow.
Neckbreaker.
They're both guys just selling the extent. So Taker has been number 30, but he got hit with a chair. He's been busted open. He's been double teamed. So he has a lot of damage to him. Michaels has been in the match for now close to 20 minutes. So he's selling his fatigue. I like this. Both team right now punching each other back and forth. Oh, big boot.
When you think about it too, and this is all part of the storytelling magic of wrestling. Shawn Michaels has been in there a long time. Undertaker came in at the very last spot, took the chair shot. He's busted open. He was double teamed. So it adds to the drama of, yeah, he's the freshest guy, but he's also taken a lot of punishment.
Yeah, he took a lot of punishment in a very short time.
Right.
So it makes sense, the fact that they're both, you know, fatigued. They're both in pain. You know, this is some good shit right here, as Vince would say. Suplex. Michael's over the top, but doing the Chris Benoit elimination of trying to hook him by the head and try maybe throw him over.
He holds on, though. See, now right there, bad spot.
This is a bad Rumble spot. Why are you going to the top rope? The Undertaker hit him. He almost went over. So here's a spot here. See, Taker shouldn't be going to the top here to do a superplex. He should be looking to eliminate Michaels, not get him back in the ring. So right here, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love this ending sequence between these two guys, but we need logical storytelling here. So he's still trying to do the superplex. Michaels is trying to headbutt him, get out of the way. Now it looks like he almost wants to suplex him outside. So now this makes sense. You know what I mean? Now is a good spot. He's not looking to get him in the ring. He's trying to get him out. Because he keeps looking out. And those little subtle gestures of turning to see where he is in relation to the outside is perfect. And now Michael's coming back. Taker literally... Okay, so now, in order to escape being eliminated, because Undertaker did have the advantage there, he punched him enough to get him back in the ring. Now Michael's coming off the top rope. Makes sense. Now the guy's on the floor.
Wait, he's going to drop that elbow now.
Taking this elbow. He has to clap the inside. And there we go. Boom. Great stuff here. We're going for Sweet Chin, possibly. He's setting up. Crowd's going crazy. Is this the ending sequence here?
I think so.
I'm going to play the sound for this last part. The crowd is red hot right now for these two. The crowd is so into it, man. Oh. Block. Choke slam. Down. So that was not the ending sequence. We were mistaken. I actually thought that was the end, and we go on even longer than this, man. Way to go, guys. That chokeslam sounded pretty brutal. So take your signal now for the tombstone at this point.
Undertaker giving the signal that this one is over. Both of these legends want one more shot. Undertaker with Shawn Michaels up.
Oh, hits him with the sweet chin. So both struggling right now to get to their feet, and the crowd is still cheering the shit out of them. This whole ending sequence, the crowd is just, they're on their feet. You can just see it in the crowd. Everybody's on their feet at this point. And here we go, here.
Coming up the Sweet Chin again.
That was great. Great end. Great ending there. You have Shawn Michaels tuning up the band. He hit him with the Sweet Chin music once. They both struggle to get to their feet. He's tuning it up again, and Taker grabs him and dumps him over the top for the win. Undertaker, first Royal Rumble win, and first person to enter number 30 to win. And I love Shawn Michaels selling at the end, upset, because he knows he made one mistake that cost him the match. That's just great selling, great storytelling from both guys. This might be, if 95 was as good as an ending This one might be number one for me, to be honest with you, in terms of ending sequence. Just they have almost like a full 8-minute match before the end, and the end last elimination is great too.
As far as like where it's ranked as one of the better ones,
yeah, in
history, because it, I mean, I remember when we were watching this, and it was who's who. It was like, who's gonna win?
Stacked one. And in terms of like where we, you know, all legitimate contenders, Michaels, Orton, Edge, Undertaker, that final four alone is incredible. And they just had great guys throughout, you know. Benoit at the time was red hot. You know, you had you know, your Finleys, your Flairs, you had the Shelton Benjamin's up and comers, your CM Punk's your up and comers. So it was good, and it was timed out really well. They had, and it was great in terms of entries where they came in. Shawn Michaels, 24 minutes, 11 seconds, four eliminations. Undertaker, short work that night, 13 minutes, 15 seconds, three eliminations. But in that 13 minutes, it made sense, took a lot of damage, right? I mean, so it set it up beautifully. His head is purple at this point from the chair shots. Michaels really selling, he upset at the fact that he lost.
He would go on to main event WrestleMania against John Cena. And Undertaker would go on to beat Batista for the world title at WrestleMania.
How crazy is that, right? So Undertaker did win, but Undertaker would not main event the show. They would have the Batista match somewhere in the middle of the card, and Shawn Michaels and John Cena would main event at WrestleMania, and he lost, which is, you know, incredible, right? But at the time, you know, who was hotter than John Cena?
John Cena, right? Was at the time, so.
He was the guy. So, wow. I mean, his forehead is really, oof. All broken out from the chair shots, obviously from cutting himself, probably doing his signature Taker pose. Did he do the point to the WrestleMania sign yet?
I think he just stared at it.
Now, will Taker pick Batista the very next night on Raw? I believe so. Am I correct in saying that? Right. They brought out him, Lashley and Cena, and he ended up picking Batista. Oh yeah, just here's the fireworks, the pyro going off, we're going crazy. Taker does not do the point, because you know what? Taker's too cool for that point. Yeah,
cool for that. And then the pay-per-view after this.
Incredible shape right there, though. Wow. Yeah.
The pay-per-view after this would be Taker and Batista against Shawn Michaels and John Cena in a tag match.
Right, exactly. They would have the two main events team up.
Right.
Oh, wow. And wow, so Royal Rumble 2007 in the books. Taker, the first number 30 to win, gets his first and only Rumble win. Question, do you think it deserved the 4 stars that it got from Mr. Meltzer?
Absolutely. I definitely do think that. It was great to revisit it and watch it and you know, just going through that whole final sequence with Taker and Shawn Michaels, it definitely was a 4-star match for sure.
It was unbelievable. I think the quality of opponent, it's just everything, man. It was incredible. Really, really good. And then that ending sequence alone. Oof, man, killed it, dude. I was very impressed.
Yep, and it would be, as you said, the first time, the only time that the Undertaker, maybe the greatest legend in WWE history, would win the Royal Rumble.
Right. But he's another one. Did he really need it? I don't think so. You know, I mean, he's just the guy that, you know, his work, his legend speaks for himself. But I love that they did. And he would go on to have a really good match with Batista at Mania. It would probably be one of the best matches of the night.
At that WrestleMania, I remember 23 being a good one.
Solid. I think we may have to cover that one going into I think every Rumble that we cover here, we should cover its respective WrestleManias leading up to WrestleMania at this point.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
I think that's a good idea. How do you guys feel at Wrestling Guys PC? Before we wrap up this Rumble and put this one to bed, so to speak, Raymond James Stadium announced again for Mania, and it's going to be another 2-night event. How do you feel about the 2 nights?
It's, I get it because of what's still going on right now with the coronavirus and seemingly no end in sight of that. And hopefully at some point this year, I know they're saying by summertime, the vaccine for those who want to take it, it should be mass produced and we'll be in a better place. So the two nights is, it's I'm fine with it because of the circumstances. You know, and I think once things kind of go back to normal, maybe when they start getting fans back in the arenas, I think I would prefer to see it go back to one night. But I am interested to see what kind of card they can put together for this year for it being two nights. And hopefully it'll be good.
I think it worked out the first time with it being two nights. And, you know, having sat there the year before and was it 35 in New York and was there for almost 6 hours.
It's too much.
It's a drag, dude. I enjoyed it as all hell, but by the time we got to the, and you're witnessing history, right? First women's main event. By the time we got there, everybody was dead. Yeah. And not dead because the pay-per-view was so bad. You're just dead tired. You're there all day. And if you're tailgating before and you're eating, you're drinking, you're wasted. And wasted like physically, not, you know, well, most of us are drunk too, but you know what I mean. But yeah, listen, you know, circumstances being what they are, you know, hopefully by next summer, hopefully by SummerSlam. Supposedly, you know, Stephanie McMahon did say that she plans on having live fans at this year's WrestleMania. You know, whether that's social distancing in effect and they have limited number of tickets. They haven't said all any of the particulars. I myself am scheduled and I will be getting my vaccine this Thursday. How you doing? You know, listen, hopefully we get back to some type of normalcy. Maybe by SummerSlam we could actually have a full arena. Not full, but you get what I'm saying. Like, people are there. We're not looking at TV screens. Although the Thunderdome is a pretty kick-ass idea.
See fans and get that natural fan reaction. You know, I know how fans can be, but I think it would be nice to see the fans back.
Oh, absolutely. I do miss them as much as they annoy me. They are vital to the show. In any case, right? You see how it is with AEW having those little bit amount of fans, how it affects them and the audience, which is great. And you see how bad it is with no audience at all when you watch Impact. So, and all I don't. So, so you know what I mean? All right. So two more points before we wrap things up. One, next week, we got a treat. We haven't said anything yet, but I'm thinking, Chris, how you're feeling right now, since we're doing a lot of firsts, we're doing first ever number one, doing first ever number 30. How about we do the first ever Royal Rumble that featured 40 men? Royal Rumble 2011.
So you took the thoughts right out of my head. I'm all for that. It's definitely going to be a longer episode, but it's going to be worth it going through 40 guys. And I remember that being, you know, just very interesting to watch, you know, having you going to number 31. I was like, oh, this is weird. But it was cool. A lot of cool returns and, you know, surprise entrance in that one. So, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, right. First ever. 40 men competing. It was at the time the biggest Royal Rumble match in history that would be eclipsed eventually by the greatest Royal Rumble. But, you know, we're going to go into the little story. Like, why did they choose to do 40 men this year, right? Why did they choose Alberto Del Rio? It'd be good to get into the underneath, peel off the layers a little bit of this Rumble before we actually get into the watch along itself. And that'll be next week, Royal Rumble 2011. Join us, get a drink, spread the word. Join us again. Watching, hope you watch along with this one as well. Updated. So now every week, I think I'm going to ask you this question. Have you changed your prediction of who you think is going to win the men's and women's Royal Rumble match this year? Because I have completely changed my picks.
Who did I say last night? So I think I might have gone with Daniel Bryan, maybe going in the men's and the women's. Who did I say for the women's? Did I say someone?
I believe you made a choice. You might have said Rhea Ripley.
Did I say Rhea Ripley? Yeah, I'm going to stick with those two for now. I just it's hard to call. I think it's just really hard to call.
So I was on the Big E bandwagon in the beginning. With the way the last 2 weeks of SmackDown have gone on, I'm on the Daniel Bryan boat right now. I think Daniel Bryan, they're setting up his losses for a big success. And I know this is probably his last full-time run in WWE, but I think setting up for him possibly against Roman is a great match because I don't think we're going to get Rock Roman as people think. I think Rock is just way too busy in Hollywood. You know, he's going to be shooting Black Adam soon. I think he just finished another film. You know, he has all his other side businesses, XFL. to worry about now too. I don't think we're going to get that match. And as of right now, it doesn't seem that way. I'm hoping to God we're not setting up for a Goldberg-Roman title versus title match. I don't know where my head's going, but I just don't want it. But in terms of the women's Rumble match, my outside favorite is Bianca Belair. But based on her showing this past Monday on Raw, Alexa Bliss is looking like an early favorite too. The fact that she pinned Asuka the champ, and I don't know if they're going to give her the title at Rumble to set up something there, but I think she has to be, in terms of favorites, she has to be in there as well. I love what she's doing with Bray. I love how she's kind of just carrying it in Bray's absence as well. The transformation, I don't know if you saw Raw last night, but she transformed briefly to beat Asuka and then transformed back. I don't know how they did that magic little camera work, which was fantastic. I thought that was great. But she's looking to me one of the early favorites as well. And I don't know. I think I might have to go Alexa as of right now, with Bianca as the outlier.
I think that would be cool to see, because I'm trying to think. You know, Alexa right now obviously is a heel, and heels have won the Rumble before. You know, Ric Flair won the Rumble and the title in 92. Yokozuna did it in 93. Shawn Michaels in 95. Austin 97. But I think it feels like it's been a while. And we'll, when we watch 2011, we'll see one there win it as well. But it's not often that a heel wins and then goes on and wins the title at WrestleMania. So I think Alexa winning it, maybe Bray Wyatt wins the Men's Rumble. And you do like a, you know, have a little.
The family wins together.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you haven't said anything about Bray. We haven't seen anything about his return. I mean, you still see the lights go out and flicker, but then you see Alexa show up. So I don't know how they're going to play out that Orton Wyatt feud going forward. Maybe if I know Orton declared for the Rumble, maybe he's the reason why Orton gets eliminated that night. You know, maybe they're setting up for a longer term WrestleMania feud, because you know they haven't really said. I know Edge was supposed to come back for Mania, and they've been building up for a year Orton versus Edge again for Mania. But I mean, at this point, you know, you're in the midst of a storyline. So unless they blow it off at Royal Rumble, I think it might just carry into Mania at this point.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe Edge makes another return at the Royal Rumble.
Hey, I'll take it any day of the week. I mean, we're what, 2 weeks out? And I think, like, you know, we did have some early favorites, but as the weeks go on, it just seems like they're just building to somebody else.
Yeah.
And to me, it's looking like D-Bry. And I don't know why it snapped in my head, but watching her last night, I was like, damn, yo, Alexa could win this Rumble. I was very impressed, to be honest with you.
But I like that they're keeping, at least me, they're keeping me guessing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, because I like that, going into a Rumble not really knowing who to pick. So.
That's amazing. All right. So as we put a bow on this, we wrap it up. We say goodnight. We want to say thank you guys who have been listening. Thank you to who have been supporting the show from Jump, or the revamp, the relaunch, the reload, whatever you want to call it. But we appreciate it. You can find us where you find all your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all the good stuff. Podomatic.com as well, if you're looking for that site. All right. And where you at? Give us some, you know, reviews. Please give us the 5-star rating. Gives us more relevance in those search menus, man. And we appreciate it. If you like what you see, drop us a line. Drop us a 5-star review. If you don't like what you see, still give us 5 stars, but then tell us how we can improve. And then, you know. Either way, I want that 5 stars, you know, but we appreciate that. We appreciate the support. We appreciate everything at No Holds. I keep saying No Holds Bar. That's nostalgia. That's for you, Juice Man. I miss you, brother. At Wrestling Guys PC on Twitter, at FPP Podcast. Am I right? FPP? FPP Show. Fans Perspective. Give that a listen every week too, man. They talk about some good shit over there. I've guest starred a few times on that as well. We got some good stuff going on over there as well. Multiple avenues, multiple ways, man. We're talking movies. We're talking pop culture. We're talking wrestling.
And we just, our new episode for the Fans Perspective is coming, and we previewed serial killers in movies and TV shows, because we just watched the Night Stalker documentary.
Oh, that is next on the list for me. I don't want to watch it at night because I'm not going to go to sleep.
It's a good watch. So
I think somebody's going to break into my basement and come upstairs. So, oh, absolutely. That's great. That's great. I actually famously wrote, I took a sociology class in college, and we had to profile a serial killer, and I actually did a Henry Lee Lucas with Michael Rooker would do Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, famously. Anyway, if you guys are interested in that, you head over to the Fans Perspective podcast, and then you come back over here and you listen to the Wrestling Guys podcast, right? You have Royal Rumble 2007. We did Royal Rumble 95. We did Royal Rumble 88. Pick your poison at this point. Listen to all three. Follow us along. Throw it on the WWE Network. Next week, 2011, 40 wrestlers. One guy can win. All right? So, with that being said, we'll wrap it up. Everybody, download us, subscribe, give us a comment, leave us a review. And this has been the Wrestling Guys podcast. We came to talk about wrestling and drink some virtual beers. And we're just about all out of virtual beers. We give you the clink to seal the deal. Stay happy, stay safe, wash your damn hands. The end is almost near, people. We love you.